When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com. To join their team, I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville in studio. EB on the road in New York. Going to talk to our pal Scott Abraham from ABC7 now. What's up, Scott?
Good morning, boys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So heading into Sunday's game against the Steelers, we were looking at a team that was 7-2. Everything is looking fantastic. Everybody's happy. They've now lost 2 in 5 days. What is kind of the feeling around this team now sitting at 7-4?
You know, I chuckle and I appreciate the passion of the Commanders fan base because clearly the standard has changed and that is awesome. But again, they are still 7-4. They just lost to 2 very good teams. I think everybody has to breathe. I think the fan base needs this mini break as well. Hit the reset button, come back against the Cowboys, get a win, come back against the Titans, get a win. I think everything's going to be okay. They played a really good defense in the Eagles. Jaden doesn't seem right. He seems potentially the rib area might be bothering him. That's just pure speculation on my part, but they're not pushing the ball down the field. And, the defense, for the most part, held up for 3 quarters, but they just – ran out of gas in the fourth quarter.
Scott, when Dan Quinn gets up to the podium and says there's nothing wrong with Jaden's rib, I mean, are the people snickering in the, like, amongst the media that are gathered? Like, how does that go over when he says that, when it seems like clearly they're taking issues to make sure his rib is wrapped when he comes off the field? He doesn't look like he looked earlier in the season. I mean, it's still seems like something clearly is affecting him physically.
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, the beat cords, you know, we see Jaden every day. We've seen him in game action. And the fact that, you know, one of the telltale signs, in my opinion, was end of the first half, guys, they had a chance for a Hail Mary pass. I think they were at the 45, 50-yard line, and they just ran the ball with Brian Robinson Jr. Why not, you know, give it a chance and have Jaden just fling it down there, and who knows what might happen? I just think they're being very conservative, and, you know, maybe there's a rhyme and reason that they're, you know, really isolating the running backs, the tight ends. And that was the game plan yesterday against the Eagles last night. But he's thrown a couple of balls in the ground. The velocity, the zip, I don't think has been there. And I just don't think they've been pushing it down the field like they have in the past. Certainly you think back to, you know, the Bengals game or other moments during the season where they were really airing it out.
Look, I don't want to blame it on the injury, but clearly, because I've seen him rip balls, but not everyone. And his footwork's a little off, his timing's a little off, and there's a lot of factors, right? Better teams, offensive line I don't think is playing as well because they're playing better players. But there's a reason that they're – I just can't let it go. There's a reason, Scott, they're wrapping him after every time he gets off the field. They're being very vague about the injury. They've been cryptic since day one. Can you? I know you don't care. Can you ask, why are you wrapping him after every series? You're not giving him heat. You're not giving him cold. Why are you? What is that doing? What is he dealing with? Because they can say whatever he wants. He looks great. I saw him running around and like a jet. You know, JP Finley tweeted that video. And, you know, I'm sure he feels great maybe 99% of the time. But something's not right. They're wrapping him after every series. No other quarterback in the league does that.
And it seems like, you know, the more he's stressing the area or the more, you know, he's exerting himself with, you know, pushing the ball down the field or it just doesn't seem right. Like, optically, I think everybody's on the same page. And certainly there's a gamesmanship, and Washington is – I understand why they're being vague about it and saying what they're saying. I totally get it. But optically, you see it, I see it, the fan base sees it. It just does not seem like he has the same zip. And you mentioned the footwork. I think the footwork's been very poor. Couple of back foot throws. He just does not seem comfortable with the rush. He's backpedaling quite a bit. I think this is good. A little break, you know, kind of clear the head, get away from the field for a little bit. And I'm not panicking. The sky's not falling. I know the fan base is concerned. They're worried. Dallas is going to be okay, how's this season going to go? Is this a team that's going to make a push at the division title, be safely in the wild card, or are they going to be in some big trouble losing to the Cowboys? So this is going to be a huge 10 days for this team, this franchise, to see what they're made of. I love Terry's quote at the end of the game last night saying, it's one thing to talk about brotherhood when we are winning. It's another thing when things aren't going well. That's when the brotherhood comes into play. Love that from Terry. I have confidence in the Bobby Wagners, the Terrys in that locker room, that they're going to right the ship and they're going to be a better team on that field in 10 days against the Cowboys.
So I think there are a lot of factors as to why Jaden hasn't played as well as earlier this season. Number one, I think they're playing better defenses. We'll never know how much health is a part of it. They haven't been able to run the football, but I'm wondering if you saw receivers getting open, because prior to that last drive, he'd actually only had two completions to receivers. He ended up with just four total, and we know Terry was quiet. I just saw a stat online. I retweeted at Junks Radio. Terry against Quinyon Mitchell got zero targets, zero receptions, 0 yards. So you're facing a really good corner. I'm wondering, did Jaden have opportunities downfield?
Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting. I personally feel like, guys, the game plan was to really utilize the running backs and the tight ends and kind of isolate those Eagles linebackers, because I think they had a respect for Mitchell and those DBs of the Eagles, and maybe that was ingrained in Jaden's head throughout the game of, you know, kind of, okay, going through my reads, let's work the linebackers, let's work the seams. I really think that was the game plan. And, you know, credit to Mitchell. I mean, look what he's done against wide receiver ones all year long. The guy is a stud. So I'm not surprised he did that to Terry. Not a lot of separation out there. And they played two very good defenses. Coming up on the schedule, they played some defenses that are ranked, you know, below top 20. Not very good defenses. So let's see if this offense can find its groove again and get back to kind of lighting up the scoreboard and pushing the ball down the field. I think that's one thing that's frustrating / concerning is the lack of explosives and the lack of pushing the ball down the field. Because I think I read a stat this morning, 24 of the 32 pass attempts by Jaden Daniels in that game last night was 5 yards or less from the line of scrimmage. So that's kind of a true tell what was going on there.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, I think Dallas has given up 28 points a game, so that's good. I honestly don't know this, though. You can answer. I mean, is Micah healthy? Is Micah Parsons healthy? What's his deal?
He played last week.
I played last week, so because I remember he had that quote after the game talking about McCartney and whatnot. So I know he played McCarthy. I didn't watch the game, so I know he was dealing with an injury, but I know he played.
I think it looks like that was his first game back in like 5 weeks or so.
No, and he was the highest. I think he was one of the highest rated defensive players according to PFF.
That's my point.
Player.
You're still going against Micah Parsons next week.
I have belief in this coaching staff, guys, especially Dan Quinn and all their Dallas connections. That this is a, you know, personal game to them, and they know what Dallas does on that side of the football. And you can say Dallas knows what Dan Quinn does, but being at home, that, you know, that Cowboys team has a lot of stuff going on outside of the football field, talking about, you know, the lights and the natural light shining in, getting curtains. I mean, come on, they're a bowl of dysfunction right now. There's no reason why Washington can't win convincingly on Sunday, but it doesn't matter. Just get a win. And I'm pretty confident that this team's going to right the ship.
But to EB's point, Mike had 2 sacks in that game.
Right.
So, I mean, he was impactful.
He's going to be a handful.
Guys, I think I thought the offensive line for Washington, Andrew Wiley, Brandon Coleman, not their best game.
Coleman was one in the trenches.
That game was won in the trenches last night, and Philly played a little bully ball, out physicaling Washington, and that's where the game was won and lost. I mean, you think about that fourth down play, sure, but the two plays before that, it was second and inches. B-Rob got stuffed. Next play, B-Rob got stuffed again. I mean, they were just bullied all night long, and that was a huge difference in the game. So Coleman, Andrew Wiley, not their best game.
Scott, did Dan talk specifically about the fourth down decision?
Yeah, so he didn't even, right when he went to the press conference, like his opening statement was basically, yes, it was a bold decision, but he felt like you have to be aggressive in those situations against Philly on the road. And he just thought it was a good situation to be bold. And, you know, you can second guess it. I personally would have kicked the field goal, especially because the defensive line from Philly has been in the backfield all game long. And the two plays before that, you were stuffed. Kick the field goal, go up by 1 point, and then see what your defense can do. That's what I would have done. Easy to second guess. I totally get it. I'm not like crazy upset about the decision. I know some fans are just banging their heads against the wall, but I'm okay. I like the boldness. I like the aggressiveness. It didn't work out, and you move on.
I was trying to look back at the last time that Washington's offense really was firing on all cylinders, and maybe you could say the Giants game where they scored 27 points, but it wasn't that great. I think they finished with like 350 yards. It's really been a while since they have clicked offensively like they did earlier in the season.
We've said this numerous times. This is a copycat league, and maybe there's these teams, these opposing defenses are starting to figure out how to play against this Cliff Kingsbury offense led by Jaden Daniels. That's okay. It's a game of cat and mouse sometimes. So let's see what Cliff Kingsbury goes back into the lab, figures out how can this offense adjust? How can this offense evolve to what these defenses are doing? Because you're right. I feel like it's been several games where they've been clicking on all cylinders and they look unstoppable. You know, again, I go back to the fact the bar has moved, the goalposts have moved, the bar has been raised. That's a good thing. The expectations are higher in this town, but they're 7-4. This is a much better offense than it's been in years past. Some bumps in the road. Got to keep the optimism, and you got to believe in this coaching staff that they're going to get it right against the Cowboys.
Hey, last one for you, Scott, and this is probably speculation. What's the likelihood of Lattimore playing when they play the Cowboys? So they trade for him. Yeah. He doesn't play on Sunday, quick week, doesn't play today. You're going to have 10 days. What's the likelihood we'll see him in a Commander's uniform against the Dallas Cowboys?
Again, speculation. I think he will play against the Cowboys. My gut tells me they knew what they were getting into. They knew what type of injury they were going to have. They knew the short week was going to be tough for Marshawn to get out there for either the Steelers or the Eagles game. So as of right now, I think you might see Marshawn next week against the Cowboys. Again, that's speculation. That's just my gut and how just kind of reading the tea leaves of listening to what some of the national reporters have been saying and what Dan's been saying in the press conference room. I would go with Marshawn, and obviously going up against the CD Lamb, you kind of need him. But the pass defense was not the issue last night. I thought, you know, for the most part, they did a great job. The secondary, it was, you know, late in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, that D line, the linebackers just got tired, gassed, and Saquon Barkley took over.
I think you nailed it. They got bullied a little bit.
Yeah, it was bully ball. I mean, that game was won in the trenches last night. That Eagles defensive line won the football game. It's going to happen. The Washington offensive line has been tremendous all year long. Last night was not their best performance. Wiley was not great. Coleman gave up a couple of sacks, holding penalty. I mean, those D tackles, Carter and company from the Eagles, they're a handful, and they were game wreckers and game changers in that football game, and that's what the difference was, in my opinion.
That's Scott Abraham. You can watch him on ABC7, sports director and anchor. Thanks, Scott.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too, man. Thanks.
Coming up next, we're going to start to take a look ahead. Can they get back on the right track? How confident are you that they'll get back on the right track as they face some weaker opponents? If you want to chime in, you can always call us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines at 800-636-1067.
So we told you last night to watch the Amazon pregame leading up to Commanders Eagles.
Hope you didn't blink.
Because the game was on Prime Video. It also aired, you know, locally over the network on Fox 5. But if you watched it on Prime, you saw roughly a three-second blurb of JP talking about, you know, like getting back at it and winning a game. I can't remember exactly what the quote was, but it just made me think, like, look, we appreciate the film crew coming down here. They're very nice, very professional. And I understand Amazon's got limitless dough. They have all the money in the world. But is it worth it for them to send a crew of three people here to D.C., to come in and shoot us for multiple segments for a three-second piece of video for their montage?
It's a waste of money, right, EB?
It's a waste of money.
Valdez, we should get the audio.
It's a waste of time and money. Time for them, because they're traveling from, I think they're based in like Philly or someplace in like South Jersey. Mm-hmm. Like, They have to get in a van. They have to load all their equipment. They have to drive down here. They have to shoot us for however long.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they have a hotel or they just a day trip. Then they have to get back, load all their stuff, drive back to Philly. I mean, it just seems
comical, worth it for them,
right?
I'm also disappointed that I didn't give them what they need. I knew when we were filming it, I didn't give them any good stuff.
You gave them nothing.
I knew.
Three of the four chunks gave them nothing because it was just JP feature.
I thought there was gonna be more because I want to say last year or the last time they were on Thursday Night Football, they used a Cakes snippet and used his face, and then there was audio of maybe Jason, maybe it was me, but they used two separate clips. Here's the deal. I can tell you why they used my clip. Because after the first segment, all right, the guy said to me, he was like, because that was good stuff. I said something like, did you get what you need, what you needed? And he was like, yeah. He goes, that was good stuff. And then he threw in, could you specifically bring up the standings? Which I don't know if that clip I brought up the standings, but I think I said, well, if they get back on track, then they can be in first place. So he wanted something about standings, and he wanted something about Thursday.
So I thought I'd missed it because I was going back and forth. Because I'm sorry, I just can't sit there and watch an hour of Saquon Barkley propaganda being interviewed. I know Dan Quinn was interviewed. So
they did the word association game with Jaden Daniels and Whitworth.
I went back to the broadcast, and then they had the 25 people they have on the set with Andrew Whitworth and Sherman and my guy Ryan Fitzpatrick, and among countless others,
making their picks. They've got a chart too.
So then they kick it. They kick it to Al and Kirk Herbstreit, and then I'm like, well, then I was like, I must have missed it because Kirk Herbstreit and Al aren't going to throw it to a goofy clip of us, but they did because there was still like 9 minutes left until the kick. And then they played the montage, and I saw the WIP guy, and I saw JP, and I said, that was a waste of everybody's time.
The thing I didn't like is, I don't think it said junkies.
It didn't say junkies, but it did say WJFK or 106.7.
Right.
It was actually kind of like Jason's body is seen, and it was like in between my head and Jason's body, you see a 106.7, but... I mean, if you blinked, you missed it. But I now know, because looking back on the one they did where they featured Cakes' face, and I think it was Jason's voice.
You know, it wasn't mine.
Are you just a big swing and a miss when it comes to
I'm a big whiff when these cameras come in.
Eric, good thing you had to put your water bottles down.
Right?
You're more long-form guy, EB.
Here
it is.
That maybe Jaden didn't play his best game. You're still 7-3 and have a chance to be back in first place on Thursday. They were mad after me.
That was about 5 seconds, actually, Cakes.
Short, I gave you the short shrift, JP, 4 to 5 seconds.
No, it's always cool. I mean, we're just kidding. We don't care. It's great. Whatever.
You know what I find fascinating about it? So that was 5 seconds, right? Mm-hmm, 5 seconds. We're on TV 4 hours a day.
Right.
But nobody those cares. 5 seconds being on Amazon, like my daughter filmed it. She's in LA. She, like, for a brief moment, she was like, oh, dad's on TV. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
People just
thought I was cool for a second. I'm like, we're on TV 4 hours a day. That's 20 hours a week.
They take us for granted on Monumental. I think that's just what it is. People just take us for granted.
They do, Kate.
They just see us there. Like, oh, the junks are there like they are every single day.
I think we got 50 to 100 tweets.
Right.
About 5 seconds. And we're on 20 hours a week.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares about your local little exploits. They don't care.
No, just care about the big national stage.
Yeah. All right, so to the question that we posed before the break, can they get back on track? They 100% can, and I think that they should. John Keim just tweeted something out. I want to read it specifically. But it has to do with the opponents and the strength of schedule and the defenses that they're going to be facing. Hold up, let me punch it up to be perfectly accurate. So it says, John Keim tweeted, is Washington ready yet to challenge top D's consistently? ? Part of the building in the last four games, the Commanders faced three defenses ranked in the top seven in scoring. Struggle. Okay, that's a fact. In the next six, they face five defenses ranked 20th or worse.
Let's go.
All right. So if they don't get on track offensively against those teams, then there's a major issue, and then the Cliff Kingsbury swoon is real.
Don't forget, I have said out loud, it's physically impossible that Jaden Daniels loses to a combination of Cooper Rush or Trey Lance leading the Cowboys offense.
Okay, the Cowboys game.
Yeah, I don't see, if they played that game 1,000 times, 1,000, the Commanders against the Cowboys, with those two clowns under center for the Cowboys, the Commanders win 1,000 out of 1,000. That's how confident I am of a bounce back against the Cowboys. And no, I'm not.
Hey, Cakes, if they lose, will you stare at the sun? Will you stare at the sun for?
No. I'm not going to do it. That is a good bit. Stare directly
at the sun for a minute.
Now, this would be better if they were playing at AT&T Stadium, at Jerry's World, but they're playing here at Northwest.
Stare at the sun. I'm begging you. Come on, one way.
It's tempting. But again, I've said also publicly out loud, I will no longer engage in wackadoo wild one-way bets where I'm just...
Come on, come out of retirement.
No, I can't. No, fully retired. Full-blown retired.
So they're 7-4 right now. They face the Eagles again on December 22nd. I think I'm going to that game. There's three games in between. Cowboys, Titans, Saints. I don't know if they're going to win all three. I do believe that they're going to win 2 out of 3. I think they could get tripped up, but I do think that they should get right. I think that they might be tripped up by one of those teams. Like, here's the thing about the Cowboys. Right now, the whole world is against the Cowboys right now. They've become like a laughingstock.
They're a disaster.
Everything is falling apart. Mm-hmm. Micah Parsons is calling out the coach, and he's going on his podcast saying, that's not what I meant. They don't have their starting quarterback in Dak Prescott. But EB brought this up before, and a lot of times it's true. Division games can be tough. We've seen Washington beat the Giants twice. Both close games. So to me, it's 100%. Tennessee, I feel like they're a joke team. Levis had 2 touchdowns in this last game.
He was also sacked 7 times in that game.
Let me say, if we lose to Tennessee, we're a complete and utter fraud. Like, everything negative you want to say, I can't. There's no defending it. We're a complete and utter fraud.
I don't think their defense is terrible.
Their defense is pretty good if Snead plays. Let me say this about the Titans. I said 1,000 out of 1,000 if they face the Cooper Rush, Trey Lance combo. I feel like if the Commanders face the combo of Will Levis and or Mason Rudolph, they win that matchup 995 times out of 1,000.
Oh, I'm not nearly that
there
confident.
There might be a few like outliers where the Titans are able to win, but I'm almost as confident that they're going to smash the Titans, too. The
Titans currently have...
Why am I so confident? Hey, I don't know.
Can we slap your face with hot chicken?
Yeah. No. Do you realize the Titans currently...
so much.
Look, Will Levis throws a lot of picks, but currently the Titans in yardage are number two in the NFL defensively to the Philadelphia Eagles, who are now number one. So that's a good defense. They're going to have to solve that riddle. And the Saints, I mean, who the heck knows with the Saints? But look, if you win two out of three... You're 9-6, so I think you're still in good shape, but you better win two out of three.
Yeah, because you got some softies coming up. Two of them at home.
Let's go to the phones. Can Washington turn this thing around and get back on the right track after losing? Look, they lost two games in 5 days.
All right, let's go to, is it Lucian and Arnold? Lucian, you're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, gents. This is my first time on. So happy to be on. You know, when we started this season, I was a naysayer. You know, I watched the game. I watched the development. Everything was rah-rah. I saw how things were really developing with Jaden, the offensive line. We lost some stuff from the defense. Hey, but look, we hit a roadblock. We played two teams that are good. It's time for everybody on the team to put up or shut up. Let's don't drink the hype Kool-Aid and let's get down to business. We know who we are. Let's get it going. That's what I have to say. And I think we can do it, but everybody's got to do their job.
All right. Thank you, Lucian. Hopefully they do that. Hopefully they get some rest over the mini bye week. Come back refreshed, ready to play the Cowboys at Northwest Stadium. Need the dub. They need a bounce back win.
They need one bad to stop the bleeding. If they don't win in 8 or 9 days, whenever the hell it is, Drabby will talk nonstop for 4 hours.
Well, then it'll feel like the Zorn year over again, and we can't imagine the Zorn year.
Oh, yeah, you're going to go back to the same old skins.
No, I can't. No, I can't compare this current coaching regime to the Zorn buffoonery. I would refuse to make
only,
that comp.
Only in that they started 6-2 and finished 8-8.
Fine. I just think they're still in better hands as far as who's leading them.
And that narrative we would explore more and more. If the offense doesn't have the uptick, we will explore more and more the Cliff Kingsbury swoon in the second half, which has been brought up, and none of us really wants to buy into it. But right now, small sample size, you would say it's kind of a thing.
Something's going on.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on a Misery Friday. Brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. All right, I got a couple things to do here on a Misery Friday. Brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. We have tickets to the Caps to give away.
Very good.
So stay tuned for that. We're going to do that at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. See the Caps play the Devils. Josh Harris and the Devils on Saturday, November 23rd, Capital One Arena. So we have that. We also have our touchdown parlay. Now, EB is not at his chair, and Cakes and I were speculating that he probably doesn't have a play because he only does plays.
We're speculating that?
I'm pretty certain he doesn't have a play for the parlay because he only picks Commanders games. Should we do a parlay drab without Mr. Bickle?
If he catches up here by the end, then we can add him in.
All right, so why don't we do this? Let's sneak in a phone call or two, and then we'll get to our touchdown parlay.
All right, let's go to John. He's calling from Pennsylvania. Must be on the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening in PA. What's up, John? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Long time listener, first time caller. Listen, I wanted to just counter the premise that the Commanders are off track in the first place. You know, when we were looking at the beginning of the season, not knowing what Jaden was like, not knowing what Cliff was like, not many people picked us to beat the Steelers. Nobody picked us to sweep the Eagles. I think this is, you know, I don't think that we're off track. I think we just had two difficult games in a row. And I think that we showed up pretty well to those two games, and now we're on to the easy stretch.
No, that's reasonable.
It's the same rational approach, John.
It's reasonable, but I think the expectations did change based on the start to the season, right? So 7-2, yeah. You're wondering. You're kind of given this big picture perspective, which is absolutely correct. But at 7-2, you're wondering, well, hey, maybe they can compete for an NFC championship.
That's right. You want to see where they are, right? You know, right. So I think we got a good sense of where they are. They're a good team. They're not a great team yet, but I think we got a good case of where we stand competitively against the better teams.
I think you're spot on. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, they're ahead of schedule. It appears they've hit on their quarterback, and the draft class and free agency signings in year one look to be pretty fruitful, and it could wind up in a double-digit win season if things go well. It's a pretty good first campaign for Dan Quinn here in D.C.
You just don't want to stumble too much down the stretch because we've been there, done that.
Right.
It starts to feel eerily similar to the last 25 years.
Right.
So let's not do that, please. Let's turn it around. Let's figure it out. Let's get healthy. Let's give the Cowboys a beat down, and let's get on another little roll. Otherwise, it's going to feel kind of gross to end the season.
Let's go to William in Alexandria. William, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, Junks, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I used to listen to you guys on a regular basis, and I remember seeing you guys there in Chinatown all the time when Chinatown was what it was, but I saw J.P. Finley J.P. Flame there, and he signed that book for me that you guys wrote. It was exciting.
Nice.
So
well, he wrote, not yeah. that we guys wrote. There was one person that wrote the book.
Well, it was based on the four of you.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, very nice.
But here it is. I think it all has a lot to do with Cliff Kingsbury as to where the offense goes, and if they don't get that together like they did last night, this team's in trouble. But I mean, with the schedule that they have, I think they got a good chance to go, you know, a few games over 500, you know, and maybe contend for a first round win, but in the playoffs. But I think the only two teams they have to really worry about are the Eagles and the Lions in the NFC.
Oh, I think you're doing a lot of chicken counting, but thank you for the call.
Thanks, buddy.
I can't just automatically say they're the third best team in the NFC like he's positing.
I think it's pretty clear, though, that the Eagles and the Lions are the top two teams in the NFC.
Yeah, so I would not dispute that.
Here's Kingsbury. I'm only going to include head coaching stints, his head coaching stints in Arizona. First half of the season, success. Second half of the season, 8-18.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative is even longer if you go to Texas Tech and
I would
all that
argue
stuff.
That none of that matters because he's not a head coach. This is as offensive coordinator. That would be my argument. I would only look at his numbers as an offensive coordinator as far as swoons go.
All right, so EB, while you were gone, Cakes and I were speculating. Now, he laughed when I used the word speculate. Mm-hmm. He said it's a fact, but I said speculate that you don't have a play ready for the touchdown parlay. And looking at your face on Zoom.
Hold on, let me look at his face. I'm let me pull up sure. his face here. Let me do a visual inspection of his face.
I need somebody to score a touchdown this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
so
true.
You don't have a play. So,
I'll give you one, sure.
Okay. Well, I can lead off. All right, we don't have much time here. The big game, actually there are a couple big games this weekend. You got Steelers, Ravens. But you also have the Chiefs and the Bills. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with a Josh Allen touchdown run. If you look at the history of Josh Allen in the regular season against the Chiefs, he's had a lot of success. Believe, passing-wise, 9 touchdowns with just 2 interceptions. I'm going to need a rushing touchdown, but I do think that he needs to be kind of a Superman to win this game. It's probably a bigger game psychologically for the Bills to win this game than it is for the Chiefs. So I like Josh Allen. What is it, plus 130, Cakes?
I think he's plus 140.
Plus 140 to get in the end zone.
Very good. All right, you're in. All right, I'll go next. Find something you love in life as much as Mike Marr loves drinking too much Buffalo Trace during an Eagles-Commanders primetime game. Find something you love in your life as much as the New York Jets defense loves allowing rushing quarterbacks to score on them. Here's what's just happened in the last few weeks. Kyler Murray had 2 touchdowns against them. C.J. Stroud had 8 carries for almost 60 yards against that defense. Drake May, in one quarter of play, had 3 carries for 46 yards and found the end zone against this Jets defense. Josh Allen, 9 carries for 18 yards. He also plunged into the end zone against the Jets. And who did they draw this week? Anthony Richardson, back under center for JP's beloved Indianapolis Colts. He can't throw the ball, but you know what he can do? He can tuck the ball and run. He's going to tuck that ball underneath his elbow and run into the end zone for at least one touchdown. And I have him at plus 175. So he's going straight into the parlay, my friends.
Wow.
At nearly plus 200.
We got two QBs.
That's a tasty number.
All right, let's go to the boys behind the glass.
Well, I'm going to go before they take mine.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, please.
All right, Najee Harris. Simple as that.
Plus 100.
Huh?
Plus 100?
Yeah.
All right, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go George Kittle. I'm jumping in here. He scored 2 touchdowns last time they played the Seahawks. Seahawks cannot guard tight ends. He's plus 135. That's a slam dunk. As much as it pains me to say that.
So George Kittle is in, and let me put Najee in there as well.
Is there anybody else behind the glass?
I thought Mar was speaking for the boys.
No, Mar's done.
He fired him?
No, he's got to play. He wants one.
He blew it last week.
He blew it last week.
His heater's done.
So that's what we do.
All right, okay. All right.
So is Mar in or out? Mar's dead? Dead to the parlay?
I got something on my sleeve over here, but I can keep it to myself.
No, he really wants to put his play in there.
All right, let's get it in.
All right. So a five-legger.
America's Game of the Week, Chiefs versus Bills. Give me Travis Kelce anytime, plus 165. He's got 32 catches and 2 touchdowns in his last 3 games, and he's scored in 4 of his 7 games against the Buffalo Bills. You know, Travis Kelce, he's going to be boots on the ground up there in Buffalo, and they're going to get the win.
All right, we got very little time left. What's a $10 bet net us pre-boost?
Pre-boost, it gets us $699.94.
Good stuff. All right, we'll put that up all our social media. EB, best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
For Cornell.
Appreciate it.
Wish your daughter some luck. We got to get out of here. For Cakes, I'm JP. That's EB in New York. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.